take a moment, if you will, at some point to check out lots of announcements, lots of things happening in the life of our congregation in the coming weeks. Today, there is a parish education meeting right after worship at 4 o'clock today. Silly is going to meet in the fellowship hall to make some bookmarks. And are you all hearing me in the back? Am I talking loud enough? I know the microphone's not coming through. But we're working on that. 4 o'clock today, Silly in the fellowship hall. While Chip... Oh, hello. Thank you, Chip. How many folks got their shoes on this morning as you got ready? Yeah, okay, that's a silly question. You all did. If you had laces on your shoes, your morning probably went something like this. Left hand, okay, I need to make a loop. And with my right hand, I need to make another loop, and I need to swoop around the first loop and pull through the hole and pull it tight, right? You all went through that thought process this morning, I'm sure, as you put your shoes on. No, you didn't, right? Because tying your shoes is a habit you learned a long time ago. It's automatic. You just have a muscle memory for it. You're in the habit. You don't even have to think through the individual tasks. And that's how we would love our worship lives together to be, an automatic thing you don't have to think through because the habit is so strong that no matter what else is going on in the distraction, the habit carries you through. So in October, we're going to all try to be really intentional about this habit of worship and to try to prioritize being here in the month of October for worship. That's our spiritual discipline. So you can use all of these cute little habit things that I've thrown at you in the weeks that we've been communicating this. You can throw all those little habit things at your friends and family and invite them to, during the month of October, make it their priority to be here and worship. Try it on. You might just like it. Are there other announcements? Oh, I do have one other announcement I need to share with you all. Mary Malone, who has been a member with us here for some time now, her daughter Jan Sprinkle died unexpectedly on Thursday. And the funeral is going to be on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in Asheboro, at the Foster Street Wesleyan Church in Asheboro. The visitation will be the night before, Tuesday night, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at the Pew Funeral Home in Asheboro. So visitation Tuesday night, 6 to 8, Pew Funeral Home, and then Wednesday morning at 11 at Foster Street Wesleyan Church will be the funeral with the burial to follow at Holly Hill Cemetery in Thomasville. If you need those details again, find me or send me a message, and I'm happy to provide those. But we certainly want to remember Mary and her whole family in prayer today as they deal with this unexpected grief. Other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Fellowship meeting right after church in the parking lot.
If you do it in the parking lot, you assure that it won't take too long. It's going to be hot by the time we get done. Yeah, okay, I like it. That's right. Other announcements?
Pastor Matt.
Sir.
The scholarship committee, with our tradition that we've had for the last few years, the first Sunday in November, we are going to have a dinner after church, and we are planning on another silent auction. So if you want to start, if you have donations that you would like to give for the silent auction, to start bringing so we can get those set out. We'll start bringing them in a couple of weeks, and then we'll start putting them out so people can take a look at them. And then that Sunday, we will do that, and we will tie in a small dessert auction with that as well. And we'll contact folks a little bit more and get more information in the bulletin and the holly leaf as we go. Thank you.
And as Kim is moving toward to do some prayer shawls for us, I should also remind next week we're going to have a potluck lunch after church just because we like each other. So stay for that potluck. Bring something to eat next week for the fifth Sunday. And after that, we're going to have our backpack packing. We had to reschedule that because of supply issues, but we're working on that. And I think we're on track. Tony, we're on track? We're on track to do that backpack packing next week after we eat together.
So this prayer shawl is for Mary for the loss of her daughter, and then this is for her other daughter, sister, her other daughter, Amy, that lost her sister. So if you'll bless these. And this one is for Daniel Ussery, gosh, y'all, I'm sorry. This is Caroline's friend from Lenore Ryan. He was having seizures, and Caroline had to take him to the emergency room, and so he has an appointment with a neurologist, so we just thought it'd be nice to send him a prayer shawl. And this one is for Renee. It's a friend of Amy Kepley's. She has breast cancer, so she needs our prayers.
Happy birthday this week to Anna, Victoria, and John. And we don't know of any anniversaries. Is there anybody we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may lie in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Invite the children up here for the children's message.
All right. So, how many of you have paid a little bit of attention to the last 3 weeks with Jesus telling stories or parables to the disciples and to others? Okay. So, how many of you have ever lost anything? Okay. How did you feel when you lost it?
Sad.
Sad.
Okay. Well, did you?
Kind of mad.
Why is that?
Because it could be something special that I lost.
Could be something special that you lost. Well, did you ever find it? You didn't? So you still probably were a little upset about that.
Did you find what you lost?
If you lost it on our space, that's easy. We only take it to a dojo.
Okay. Didn't quite catch all that, but I'm sure. But sometimes when we lose something, we hope that if somebody finds it, that they'll do the right thing and bring it back to us. Like if you lost your purse or your wallet or your favorite toy, your favorite book, anything like that, that if you lost it somewhere, that maybe somebody would pick it up and find it and say, hey, I bet somebody's missing this, and they bring it back. Well, sometimes people don't always do that, do they? So Jesus has been talking about doing the right thing. So what is do the right thing?
Bringing stuff back to other people that they lost.
Okay, bring stuff back to other people that they lost. What else can we do to do the right thing?
If we lost our phone on at our house, it's easy to find.
Yeah, easy to find that phone if you lose your house. You're right.
If you lose like an animal or something, you can look for the posters maybe, and it will say the phone number. Then you could call the people and say that you found their dog or something.
Hey, that's good. So posters, we could post posters, or we could look at posters and see, hey, I've seen little Charlie running around here. Maybe I can help find him.
Return it to the police so they might actually seen who has it or not.
Yeah, and that's what some people have done before. They have found wallets with thousands of dollars in them. And instead of keeping that money, they take the wallet to the police or take it back directly to that person if their address is in their wallet. So those are the right things to do. Well, today Jesus is going to talk about doing the right thing. And he's talking about leaving small things with us. And if we do the right thing, even if it's a small thing, then we build trust so that we might be trusted with bigger things in the future. Okay? So we'll listen for that today in the gospel lesson. All right, will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for trusting us with the little things so that greater things may grow out of them. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. Ooh. A reading from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 113, and it will be read responsively by full verse. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high?
Who lives far down on the heavens and the earth.
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated. It's not a very comforting sign when you turn to the experts for a little help with making sense of a Bible passage, and the commentaries all basically say, well, this parable's really confusing and nobody knows what to do with it. So I guess all you do is give thanks that somebody else is on the hook for the children's message this week. There's all sorts of ways you can sort of half squint, close your eyes, and read this gospel passage and go, well, maybe this is what's going on. But at the end of the day, this is just a confusing passage. Why would the master commend the dishonest manager for giving all of his debtors a major discount? And why would Jesus tell the disciples to make friends by way of dishonest wealth? Was this sarcasm or something? It's just strange and confusing to read. But even with all that's not clear about the meaning of this passage, we can say one thing for sure. It's about money. So, let's talk about money. When the Civil War broke out, the short-lived Confederate States of America quickly decided that they would need their own currency, and so it was that the Confederate States dollar came into being. I think we got a picture. Thank you, Chip. Now, unlike some currencies, this Confederate dollar was not backed by gold or silver. It wasn't tied to that. It was really just basically a promise that you could get that amount of credit from the Confederate States of America. And at first, the Confederacy issued these bills so that they could be redeemed by the government on demand so long as it was a 12-month period after the bill had been issued. So if you see in the upper left-hand corner there, you can see where it says 12 months from date of issue that this is redeemable. Okay, so that's how we started out. But as it became clear that the Union wasn't going to let secession happen without a fight, the redeemable date on these bills started to say something different. Chip, if you'll hit us to the next one here. All of a sudden, these things were saying 2 years after the date there in the upper left-hand corner. Until eventually, it wasn't even a set date when the bills, from when the bills were printed that they could be redeemed. They just started to say what this next bill says, which is a little bit harder to read, but underneath the 50 there on the left, it says, 6 months from the date of a peace treaty being signed between the Confederate States of America and the United States of America is when these bills could be redeemed. So it's not even a hard and fast date. They're just saying, well, once all this gets sorted out, well, then these bills are going to be redeemable. And pretty soon, people started to catch on to the fact that the Confederacy was extending these redeemable dates farther and farther into the future. Everybody knew why. The Confederate government didn't have the gold or the silver to back up these bills that they were printing. It was all just sort of imaginary. And so almost immediately, the value of these bills plummeted. As the war went on, particularly, each time that there was a major Confederate defeat on the battlefield, the value of the Confederate dollar dropped again. When news of the Battle of Gettysburg and the South's defeat reached the Confederacy, the value of the currency dropped 20% overnight. So effectively, you went to bed with $100 that you'd saved and worked for, and you woke up in the morning and now it was only worth 80. The lack of confidence about the outcome of the war and the government's ability to pay was huge, but that wasn't the only thing that made this currency drop in value. Union printers, who were much better set up to do this sort of thing, also started counterfeiting the Confederate currency and flooding these bills into the market until inflation was out of control. And all of this spelled disaster for the value of the Confederate dollar. By the end of the war, a bar of soap would cost you something like 50 Confederate dollars, and an average set of clothes, something like 2,700 Confederate dollars. And it was because, by the very end, this currency wasn't even going to be worth the paper that it was printed on. But before it got quite that bad, people began to see the writing on the wall, right? And so everybody who was holding these bills, they wanted to get them out of their hands as quickly as they could, so they desperately began to spin these wherever they could find a place that would take them. They spent this Confederate money recklessly before it completely lost its value, because they knew, right, if they didn't get something, anything for it while they could, before long it would be completely worthless. It was a use it or lose it situation for these Confederate dollars. I wonder if that's a helpful way for us to read this parable. Use it or lose it. The dishonest manager knows he's going to be fired. But before he loses his ability to do business for his master, he finds some of the big debtors that owe his master money, and he cuts them these unbelievable deals. And now they owe him a favor. He uses the currency of his position before he loses it. What if this parable is trying to say that our wealth is like that? What if what we have is a use it or lose it situation? We know that Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God, and I think we can safely assume that in the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus brings, the earthly possessions that we have stored up, they're not going to be worth anything. Jesus basically says that in Luke 12, make purses for yourselves that won't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth can destroy. The implication there is that things here in this world, the wealth of this world, is going to eventually be ruined and worthless. So, if the kingdom's coming, if we even pray that it would come quickly, well, then everything that we've gathered in wealth, in money, in possessions, overnight, it could all become worthless. Shoot, Jesus reminds us of this. He makes this exact point in Luke 12 when he tells the story of the man who finally felt like he had enough saved up. He tore down his barns and built bigger ones. Finally, he had enough to enjoy life, only to die that very night. All that we've worked for could be like that too, gone in the blink of an eye. So why would we let that happen? Wouldn't we rather use it before we lose it? The manager is commended by his master for his shrewdness, and Jesus sort of seems to suggest that we, the children of God, could learn something from that shrewdness. What if the shrewd thing to do here is to use what we have accumulated for the sake of the kingdom's purpose? What if, before we lose our money in death or to the coming of the kingdom, what if we use it to alleviate suffering, to work for healing, to be about good news, which in Luke's gospel is always good news for the poor, the outcast, and the lowly? As confusing as this parable is, Jesus is exceedingly clear about one thing. You cannot serve God and wealth. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan knew that much, right? If we choose to serve God, well, then our wealth can be used for the kingdom's purpose. And whether you have access to a lot of wealth or just a little, your calling is to use what has been entrusted to you faithfully. Through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we are heirs to the true riches of God's kingdom, where God makes for us an eternal home. And this world I don't have to tell you. You've lived it. This world is full of brokenness, sin, and hurt. You've seen it, right? That's the stuff that Jesus is coming to make right. That's why we need Jesus, the only one who can redeem the world and make all things new. But you know what? Jesus is not the only one who can make a difference in this world. Throughout the gospel, Jesus sends out regular people like you and me to proclaim the kingdom of God. Throughout the whole Bible, actually, God sends ordinary, flawed, complicated people to do God's work in the world. Yeah, there is so much brokenness in this world, but we have access to resources that can make a difference. And if we choose to serve not wealth, not money, but the one true God, well, then the shrewd thing to do is to use what we have in service of God's mission of healing and reconciliation for the world. One way or another, we will be parted with our wealth, whether that's in death or in Christ's coming that we earnestly pray for. But now, today, here, our money can be a tremendous vehicle of discipleship. So for God's sake, use it before you lose it. Amen.
Let's profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you call your church to serve you. Free your people from the deceptions of false masters so that we discover the true richness of serving in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Wise God, you rule the nations. When the powerful trample on the needy and take advantage of the poor, turn them from their selfish ways. Show us your ways of truth that lead to justice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Healing God, you raise up those who have been brought low, and you remember the forgotten. We lift up to you all who are in need, especially
Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Walter, Bobby, Sheila, Aldine, Sheila, Lydia, Walt, Barbara, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, family of Eric Walser, Judy Rose, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Robert, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, Frankie, Garland, our servicemen and women all over the world, those unemployed and looking for work, and others we name before you now. Grant them joy and comfort in your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Mother and God, you give us life. Give strength to families experiencing infertility or challenging pregnancies, to foster parents, parents of adopted children, single parents, and families of all varieties. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, you hold us close even in death. We lift to you our thanks for those who have recently died and are now at rest with you. Lord, in your mercy. Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Lamb of God, you bear our sin, Lord.
We stand. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Invite the congregation to be seated. I was handed an announcement. All that helped with the chicken barbecue are invited to join tomorrow night, Monday night, for the meal at Lutheran Men and Mission at 7 o'clock. So that's men and women and children and whoever might have been involved. We want to say thank you. So join tomorrow for the meal at 7 o'clock, Lutheran Men and Mission. We want to say a farewell this morning. Walt Anderson is going to be heading this week sometime up to Pennsylvania, where he's going to live with his daughter Jackie, and we think they might get underway sometime in the middle of this week to go up there. So we just want to bid him farewell. I'm going to come to you, Walt, if that's okay. Walt, as you leave our congregation, we wish to bid you farewell. You can stay seated, that's all right. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said, I'm going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place that I have prepared. In holy baptism, our Lord Christ receives us and makes us members of his church. Walt, when you came to this congregation with Sue, this congregation rejoiced to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for all creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through you. We encourage you to continue to receive and share in God's gifts in Pennsylvania, united with us in the body of Christ and the mission we share. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for Walt and for the time we have shared with him. As he has been a blessing to us, now send him forth to be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Go in the peace of God, Walt. And for Walt and for all of us, I say may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand to sing our final hymn.
Oh,
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.